Great job, John Weatherby. We're looking forward to great weather tomorrow. And, you know, Super Tuesday, I predict locusts. I'm not really sure yet. But we're about to bring in a good friend of mine and one of the true professionals at the Capitol. It is Aaron Shinen of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. Aaron, how you doing today, sir?
Doing good, Charlie. How are you, bud?
I am doing great. Did see you at the Capitol this morning. I left early. You were still there. We pulled John away from his normal seat sitting next to you. I sat in your seat this morning. I apologize for that. Aaron has the only assigned seat in the Capitol Press Gallery. It is not labeled because if you're in there, you're just supposed to know, and sometimes people don't know that.
That's what you get with a season ticket to the House Gallery.
Exactly. And, again, you truly do a good job, and you're one of the people I know that tries to play it, you know, non-agenda, just reporting what's going on as best you can, inform the readers. And I will say that about you constantly as someone that I get to have a bias. You don't really get to have one or show one.
Amen.
But I did stump John earlier today, so I'm going to ask you real quickly. Brunch bill, I have not been following it. I know it's one of the things I hear people talk about that they want to see. Where is that in process? Can you give us a quick update on that?
Sure. It's House Bill 535 from Brett Harrell. It passed the House overwhelmingly and bipartisanly last year. It did not make it out of the Senate before sine die in 2015, so it's been recommitted back to the regulated industries in the Senate. I understand that there's one powerful lawmaker over there, you might call him the majority leader, who does not like the bill. Brett Harrell, the sponsor, told me just today, in fact, that he's going to wait till after crossover day 30, which is Monday, to start working on the Senate.
That would imply, to play an inside baseball for the listeners at home, the Senate doesn't tend to move House bills until after day 30 and vice versa. So if it's already been there, that's why it's been quiet, because I've heard that's a lot of people talking outside, but not a lot of people inside, because it's just kind of in that you got a 10-day window to pass the other folks' bills, and they don't tend to move a lot of them, even if they were passed last year before that. So,
yeah, exactly.
Good enough. Let's get you to the business at hand, and one of the reasons I wanted you to talk today, because Georgia Paul, we try to represent a diversity of interest, both partisan as well as intra-party. But, you know, sometimes we get into our own, we're talking to ourselves, and you kind of have a fresh take on the presidential race because you've been in South Carolina, specifically trying to interview different people at various candidates' functions. So as you've seen what you saw in South Carolina and coming to Georgia with the SEC primary on Tuesday when we get to vote, just in general, what's your take on, and we're talking specifically on the Republican side, we'll just stipulate Hillary's being coronated, whatever happens, but you don't have to agree to that. But anyway, Republican side, what are you seeing out there? What might our listeners need to know of what's really going on in the ground?
I'm seeing a lot here that I saw in South Carolina over the last couple of weeks, which is definite movement on the Trump side, that he seems like he's most likely going to be unstoppable for the number one spot, but that the real battle beyond that is for second and third and maybe for fourth. I think everyone in the state ought to be ready for the fact that Trump's going to finish first on Tuesday in the primary, but you really need to see what happens next. Does Cruz or Rubio, are they one of the other able to leapfrog to become the main challenger to Trump? But does, by some miracle, John Kasich break into the top three here and be able to further his campaign towards his ultimate goal of competing in Ohio on March 15th? You know, if you're Ted Cruz, don't you need to finish second here? Isn't Georgia supposed to be?
Well, that's where I was going to go with you, because you saw this in South Carolina and we're talking to people. But the assumption this entire time, and the only prediction I made on this race was back in October publicly, and I did it at a GOP group in Gilmer County. And I said I thought Ted Cruz would win Georgia. And I agree with you. Donald Trump, based on everything I'm seeing, is going to take it in the first spot. But Ted Cruz's veil of "I am the evangelical candidate and I will lock up the South," that got pierced pretty badly in South Carolina, and I'm kind of sensing that in Georgia. So do you kind of also see that Cruz, much like Trump saying, I only win when he didn't win Iowa, it was a momentary stumble, but Cruz as the evangelical candidate, when he's not locking up either evangelical voters based on exit poll or either, you know, not coming in even second in South Carolina, doesn't that, do you see trouble among the grassroots, the people you're talking to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Among that?
Absolutely. Because, you know, honestly, I think a lot of the people that would be for Cruz are stuck in Trump land.
Yeah.
You know, I was up in Dawsonville recently for a story that's coming out this Sunday, just talking to folks up there about, you know, about the primary and about who they're supporting and what they want to hear candidates talk about. And I had to work, keep going to find someone who didn't say Donald Trump was their candidate. I mean, it was across age. I can't say it was across race. It wasn't. They were all white folks, but it was across age, you know, blue collar, white collar, rich, poor. You know, so, and I think in a normal year, a lot of those folks would be Cruz supporters, but they're not, and they're going to Donald Trump. And so Rubio has been able to take advantage of that to a great extent.
And Donald Trump has confused everybody, and I don't think any of us can sum it up. And one of the things, the takeaways for me, I did not go to the Trump event Sunday in Atlanta. I was too well to attend. But your your colleague on the editorial side, Kyle Wingfield, tweeted out that that was the most diverse group he's seen, specifically people of color, as well as Hispanics, that attended the Trump event and any GOP event he's ever seen. So the narrative that it's just white supremacists, which they're there looking at Twitter.
David Duke endorsed
that. We're going to talk about that in the next segment.
Will Kramer just tweeted that
back
for us.
Yeah, I mean, there is no – I spent a good bit of time with international press yesterday, two separate interviews over an hour, trying to explain Donald Trump to La Parisienne and then a British group. And I can't explain. I mean, it's too complicated right now. I mean, I think we'll all be able to have our opinion when it's over, but this really is it's different this time, isn't it?
Well, it's completely different. And I'm trying to remember who I saw said this that I thought was pretty smart. That was in 2012, South Carolina Republicans chose Newt Gingrich to basically to say to the establishment in Washington, you're doing it wrong. Well, that didn't work out so well, right? Newt Gingrich didn't
exactly
get very much farther.
Moon colonies.
Right. So, yeah, they came shortly thereafter. That's right. But so that Donald Trump is the manifestation of that anger that that folks on a certain wing of the Republican Party tried to enunciate back in 2012, and nobody listened. So now that you've got Donald Trump, you know, as a personification of that frustration with Washington, and he obviously has a lot more staying power than Newt did.
The other interesting thing, going back to what Kyle had to say in his visit, was that he was in the press pen that had police guards, and he said, you know, he was actually scared at one point because Trump was urging the audience at least three times to go after the press, and that's got to be something that concerns not only the amateur press like me, but the professional guys like you.
Yeah, it's definitely concerning. I mean, you know, I've certainly been in atmospheres like that at rallies where the candidate or whomever turns on the press and starts, you know, encouraging people to give us grief, but you know, I find that most of the time that people, you know, do it good-naturedly. But if, judging from what Kyle was talking about, I'm not sure that would be the case at one of these Trump rallies like that. You know, the atmosphere there from the video that I saw, I was driving back from South Carolina and so didn't make it to that either, but was just so amped up, you know, and he was just pushing that theme so hard that, I mean, if I told Kyle, I said, you'll be probably glad that the guy was there with a gun and standing next to you.
Well, as long as you're doing the job you're doing, if you ever feel safe enough that you want to try to travel outside the perimeter, I'll have your back, and I'll bring you an official GOP security detail just so that, you know, people will know that liberal media such as you, we will try to give you safe passage as much as I can provide that to you, because you know everyone's my friend when we travel outside.
That's right. Well, I think I'll be headed toward Kennesaw this weekend for the Rubio event, so, that seems to be OTP. But the good folks in Kennesaw, I'm sure, will take care of it.
Well, the thing about Kennesaw is everybody's packing.
That's right.
So
it's
what you've really got to watch out for there is the crossfire.
Okay.
So as long, you know, keep your head down, you'll be fine. But Aaron, do appreciate what you do every day, and appreciate you coming on to chat a little bit with us about it. And I'll let you get back to all that good business that they're doing over there in the House of Representatives.
Well, they're doing business. I'll let you decide.
Well, there you go. As we said, the unbiased, unfiltered Aaron Shinen of the AJC.
Appreciate
Aaron, thanks
Aaron.
For coming
Please
on.
Guys. We'll see you.
And with that, we'll have a little more of 6:40 a.m. Sully Show with special Thursday edition Georgia Paul Radio coming up right after this.